This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Oh my stars. Chris Watts, the killer dad, can you just be quiet? Go away. Go serve your life sentence and shut your pie hole. You know what? That's not possible. In the last days, so-called killer dad, Chris Watts. I hate to even say his name. It tastes like dirt in my mouth. I'll say his wife's name, Shanann Watts. Beautiful, loving, hardworking, supporting the family. Mother of two little girls, Celeste and Bella. They were murdered too. Mother-to-be of baby Nico, her first son. They're all dead thanks to dad, Chris Watts. Motive? To be with one of his many, many lovers. But in the last days, emerging, Chris Watts in the headline again, go away! And his twisted prison letters claiming he's a, quote, new man and that God has forgiven him for murdering his pregnant wife and both of his daughters. Did God tell him that? I don't know. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. I hate to even look at him. Why do women think he's attractive? He looks like the devil to me. Absolutely the devil. Killer dad Chris Watts now claims he is a, quote, new man. And God has forgiven him. This as he rots in prison for really horrific crimes and the disposal of his wife and little girls. As I recall it, the Anadarko oil well grounds where he worked. His wife endured coffin birth. I don't know if endured is actually the right word. After she died, she gave birth in her makeshift grave to baby Nico, who, of course, also died. I'm all for forgiveness. Lord knows I need it too. Dear Lord, I hope you're listening to that. And I think that if he seeks forgiveness, he will get forgiveness from God. I do believe that. He can also rot behind bars at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive, okay? The killer insists he is a, quote, new creature in recent handwritten letters to a female pen pal. A new creature. A creature, yes. I don't know how new he is. Quote, I have always taken full responsibility for what I did. Okay, right there, that is a lie. He did not always take responsibility. In fact, he lied about it and begged for his wife's return, knowing full well he had murdered her and the two little girls, that Nico had been stillborn because of the murders, and he had disposed of their bodies in the worst way. You know what? Let's have a little reality check. This is what happened. I don't care if he says, I've taken full responsibility for what I did.
I want you to hear the husband as he begs for help.
I just want them back. I just want them to come back. And if they're not safe right now, that's what's tearing me apart. Because if they are safe, they're coming back. But if they're not, this has got to stop. Like, somebody has to come forward.
Somebody come forward, the husband begging for help. At that point, trying to find his wife. She's gorgeous, $1 million smile, long brunette hair. Shanann Watts. I'm looking at a photo of her right now with her two daughters, Celeste, just 3 years old, Bella, just four. Straight out to Ellen Killoran, joining us with CrimeOnline.com. Ellen, I want to start at the beginning as this whole thing unravels. Tell me about Shanann's new job. I want to start with that.
Shanann was having a lot of success selling weight loss patches through a multi-level marketing company. And part of what a multi-level marketing job is recruiting more salespeople. So she was posting on Facebook all the time, showing how well she was doing. She was getting a car allowance. So she's got a Lexus. She's going on work-sponsored vacations all the time. She's working really hard, but she's also having the time of her life. And juxtapose this with what we later learn, that the family had been having financial trouble and they had filed for bankruptcy in 2005. And Chris had reportedly told some neighbors pretty recently that they were thinking about selling the home.
Uh-oh. Now, here's a mom who has been devoting her entire life to raising the two little girls, Celeste and Bella. And then they hit hard times. The dad is no deadbeat. I mean, he's been working, too. So they fall on hard times, and they have to get out from under staggering debt by filing bankruptcy. She manages to land a job at about $80,000 a year. But part of that job is having to travel away from her children, which she hated. She would leave for work, and I believe this country, they call it health supplements, this $80,000 job. She had a lot of trips to Mexico and Dominican Republic. Her work often took her away from home, and that leaves the husband, Christopher Watts, at home with the two little girls. During this time, she gets pregnant, and they are looking forward to the birth of the first boy in the family. Also with me, renowned pathologist and medical examiner, Dr. Michelle Dupree, and forensics expert, Joseph Scott Morgan, professor of forensics, Jacksonville University, and author of Blood Beneath My Feet. To you, Ellen Killorn, have you ever noticed realtors? Okay. Realtors always have beautiful cars. I'm convinced they're all leased, by the way. Beautiful cars, beautiful clothes, beautiful jewelry. And I guess it's part of the image they need to project. I mean, Ellen, if you're going to go look at an apartment or look at a house, you don't want to get in a car that doesn't crank up, that's all ratty and disgusting inside. Right. So, so I'm not judging people on their cars, but it's a facade that they need to present. This mom got this job and had to present this facade.
Exactly. It's part of the job to make it, it's part of the presentation to make the whole experience seem like something that you want to participate in. Her job isn't just selling the weight loss patches. It's also selling other people taking the kind of job that she has. She's recruiting as well. So she has to project an image that makes this look very, very enticing.
So she starts this job, and even amidst the new job where she's really having to work and travel out of town away from her two kids, they still are considering selling the house, Ellen?
Yeah, a neighbor told a reporter that just this week that Chris has kind of offhandedly mentioned that they were considering selling the house. So it's really hard to say what their financial situation was like. It seems like obviously there had been some trouble in the past, but after they filed for bankruptcy is when Shannon got this job. And also Chris had been working at the petroleum company. So they're both working, but it's hard. They've got two children. They've got another on the way. That's a lot of financial pressure. It's hard to know how easily they really were making ends meet, because like you said, a big part of Shannon's job was making the job look really, really attractive to other people. All we know is that...
Well, what was his job? What was his job? Christopher Watts' job?
He worked for a petroleum company.
Okay.
He's been working there since at least 2015.
I want to get back to her going missing. Ellen, when did that happen? Give me the timeline.
She had just gotten back from yet another work trip early in the Monday morning hours.
Her now, wait a minute. I want to clear something up.
Yes.
With me, Dr. Michelle Dupree, Joe Scott Morgan, also New York psychiatrist, Dr. Judith Joseph. You know, I don't know if you have to travel for work, Dr. Michelle Dupree, but it sounds so glamorous. It is not glamorous. Like, this woman went to New Orleans, Toronto, Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, Puerto Vallarta, Vegas, San Diego. When you travel for work, Dr. Michelle Dupree, it is not glamorous. I typically get off of a plane. I go straight to the work site, dragging my beat up suitcase behind me. And I get there. I work late, because I want to hurry and work as late as I can so I can get back earlier, end up spending the night in a hotel, grab something on the way, and then I get up as quickly as I can, sometimes at 3 or 4 in the morning, to get to the airport to get back home. That's not glamorous, Dr. Michelle Dupree.
You're exactly right, Nancy. It is not. It's very tiring, and you are worn out by the time you get home.
So tell me this. She gets back, Ellen, from one of these trips, and what happens?
She gets back late, early in the hours of Monday morning. He goes to work at 5 a.m. Apparently, they stay up together for 3 or 4 hours talking, and he admitted that it was an emotional conversation. So that's going to be a really big question in this case. What was going on in that quote-unquote emotional conversation? Well, because she wasn't seen again after that.
Well, you know, when one partner travels a lot, to Dr. Judith Joseph, renowned New York psychiatrist joining us, that's very hard. As a matter of fact, Dr. Judith, when my husband traveled constantly, he would leave on Sunday night and get back, if I was lucky, on Friday night. Our entire relationship, when we had the twins, I said, listen, something's got to give. I cannot work and be on call for crime-related stories 24/7, 365, and you be gone. Well, you know what? He started his own business so he could name his own hours. But Dr. Judith, not everybody is that fortunate to be able to just go run out and start your own business. And it's hard when one, that's very stressful on a family with two tots and another on the way, for one parent to be gone all the time. I guess they did have an emotional conversation.
I agree with you, Nancy. Traveling is hard on anyone. Even people who don't have children suffer from depression, anxiety, sleep disorders related to extensive traveling. And so then when you put that stress into the mix with two young children, a husband who's bearing the brunt of things, and, you know, traditionally in our society, some parts of this country are still very, very traditional. It's not common for the mother to leave the home. And so there probably were a lot of feelings there. And, you know, sometimes people make comments in the community about this. And so I'm not sure what was happening with this family in particular. However, you're absolutely right. Travel is stressful. And when one parent has to stay behind and one partner has to stay behind, sometimes the imagination goes wild and there are accusations of jealousy, of infidelity, and we don't know what was happening in this family.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Also in Chris Watts's letters, he says, as I mentioned, I've always taken full responsibility for what I did. The rest of that sentence, even though I was misled by a wicked woman. He seems to be blaming his mistress for him murdering his family. Now, is that taking full responsibility? No, it is not. And P.S., which mistress are we talking about? There have been so many in their disappearance and murders.
Her flight got delayed from Arizona because of, like, other storms around the nation. So she's supposed to get home, like, 11. She got home at, like, 1:48. She came home from the airport 2 a.m., and I left around 5:15. She was still here. And, like, about 12:10 in that afternoon, her friend Nicole showed up at the door. Like, I had texted Shanann a few times that day, called her, say, you know. But she never got back to me, but she wasn't getting back to any of her people as well. And that's what really concerned a lot of people, is like, if she's not getting back to her, like, if she doesn't get back to me, that's fine. Like, she gets busy during the day, but she didn't get back to her people, which was very concerning. And Nicole called me when she was at the door, and that's when I came home. And then walked in the house, and nothing, it's vanished. Nothing was here. I mean, she wasn't here. The kids weren't here. Nobody was here.
We are discussing the case of Shanann Watts. We want justice. Shanann goes missing along with her two children, Bella and Celeste, little tots. And to top it all off, Shanann is pregnant. I recall covering a case, and I learned a startling statistics. I believe it was from the New England Journal of Medicine, that the number one cause of death amongst pregnant women in the U.S. is homicide. The number one cause of death. It's not heart failure. It's not stroke. It's not anything you may imagine. It is homicide. Very disturbing. Joining me, Dr. Michelle Dupree, Joseph Scott Morgan, Dr. Judith Joseph, and Ellen Caloran. So Ellen, she goes missing. We just heard the husband, Christopher Watts, begging for help to try to find her. I'm thinking this too. It's not like she'd run away with another man and bring the two little girls, Bella and Celeste, with her. Also, she came home that night. She got home from out of town. She has this discussion probably related to the out-of-town trip she had to take. And then the husband leaves for work at 5 a.m. She's alive and well then. So how does she turn up dead and where, Ellen?
As far as I know, there were not any accusations of infidelity on her part. But apparently, she did mention to a friend at one point that she was wondering if maybe her husband was being unfaithful.
Well, according to, and yes, Mark Garagos, my colleague, defense attorney for Michael Jackson, Scott Peterson, Winona Ryder, he'll tell anybody a cheater, a murderer, does not make. And he's absolutely right. But I can tell you this, when you have a happy family and a happy marriage, the husband's not waiting in the shadows to push the wife over a cliff. I know that much. I also know this, problems allegedly surfacing just in the past 2 months because a coworker of Shannon's mom said they may have been headed for divorce. Right when they're turning the corner, Dr. Judith Joseph, New York psychiatrist, joining us. They went bankrupt in 2015, but they recently had enjoyed these lavish trips and a Lexus automobile thanks to her new job. It took her out of town a lot, and then problems began to surface at home. It looks like they're turning the corner on all their financial problems when she goes missing, Judith.
Well, yeah, I think that's the statistic that you mentioned about pregnant women and homicide being a number one cause of death is so significant. And people don't realize this, that partners, people who are not pregnant, husbands, they also experience postpartum depression and stress. And it's not the same cause. It's not hormonal. There's a lot of transitions that people have to face when they're having multiple children. And you add the stress of finances, you add marital pressure, and maybe a third party, someone who's engaging in adultery, and then people explode. And you know, I don't know this family in particular. I haven't treated any of them. However, it sounds like they were trying to create this facade, this appearance that things were okay. And clearly things were not okay.
Well, another thing, Dr. Judith Joseph, everybody has those problems. Everybody that is married with a family will have children to take care of, jobs, financial pressures. And she certainly was never accused of having a sex relationship with anybody else. So why does she go missing, and what does all of that have to do with her body being discovered? And I can tell you this much, to Joseph Scott Morgan, I'm sorry, but I just don't think men do as good a job as women do raising children. And here he is taking care of these two children. Ellen, how does it go from him taking care of the children and now she's dead and goes missing, Ellen? Come on, fast forward, Ellen.
This is a husband who had financially struggled in the past. He's at home alone with two daughters. His wife is having a lot of success. They have another baby on the way. He could have been under a lot of stress, and he may have felt that his role had been diminished in the family.
Wait, I'm asking you, I'm not concerned about his male ego, okay. Ellen. She's dead. And now let me just Q&A with myself here. Isn't it true cops believe she was killed in her home and then her body moved to Anadarko oil and gas drilling properties? Who worked there? May I ask you that, Ellen? Who do we know worked at Anadarko oil and gas drilling? Name one person.
Chris Watts.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Dr. Michelle Dupree, help me out here. Pathologist, medical examiner. You know what you and I talk about? When somebody kills, they very often will do it or dispose of the body in a place they are familiar. And I always point to Scott Peterson. He's a fisherman. He goes fishing in San Francisco Bay all the time. He fishes, he golfs, and he cheats. He fishes, he golfs, and he cheats. It's like rinse and repeat on the back of your shampoo. He fishes, he golfs, and he cheats. Where is Lacey, his dead wife and unborn child, Connor? In San Francisco Bay, because he's comfy there. He goes and dumps the bodies there, Dr. Michelle. You see it over and over.
Exactly. You really do. We love it when they're dumb.
Yeah. And here we've got Anadarko Oil and Gas drilling one of those properties where the husband, Christopher Watts, works. And when I come, and Joe Scott Morgan, I need expertise from you regarding how they might know the mom and the two little girls were murdered in their own home.
I called her texted her about three times just to say, you know, what's going on. Like, I did, because after I called her and texted her once, it was like maybe she was just busy. Like, she had just gotten back, you know, like everybody's probably calling her from her trip. She just got back from Arizona. And I figured just she was just busy. But when her friend showed up, that's what it was like. It registered, like, all right, this isn't right. Right now, I don't even want to just like throw anything out there. Like, I hope that she's somewhere safe right now and with the kids. But I mean, could she just taken off? I don't know. But if somebody has her and they're not safe, like, I want them back now. Like, that's what's in my head. Like, if they're safe right now, they're going to come back. But if they're not safe right now, that's the not knowing part. Like, if they're not safe, last night I had every light in the house on. I was hoping that I would just get ran over by the kids running in the door and just like barrel rushing me, but it didn't happen. And it was just a traumatic night trying to be here.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
He also says in these letters, quote, "I know God does not see me as a sinner who killed his family. I don't think you should be speaking for the Lord Almighty." He says, "I've confessed my sins. I am forgiven." Okay, that's between you and the Lord. But you are not getting out of jail. Again, you being forgiven by heaven is not mutually exclusive with you staying behind bars and rotting till the day you die. Let's have a little fact check. This is what happened to Shanann, Bella, Celeste, and Nico. Just remember, his two little girls, Bella, 4, and Celeste, 3, were in his truck as he carried their mom's body to hide it at the oil fields where he worked. He suffocated the two little girls one by one as they begged for mercy and stashed their bodies in oil drums. In addition to multiple handwritten letters, mostly about himself, he shared his thoughts with an inmate, Dylan Tallman, a prisoner in Wisconsin, who befriended Watts. Tallman was in a cell next to Watts, and the two became friends, jail buddies. Tallman actually released a series of books titled The Cell Next Door. He says Watts confided that his marriage to Shanann was unhappy. Really? Then where did the three children come from? Watts whined that Shanann was, quote, really busy with her job, and that he was often the, quote, primary caregiver to his daughters. So? Watts claims when he lost weight and started working out, women started paying attention to him, and he, quote, met Nicole. She was, quote, everything my wife wasn't like with me. She was just nice and not a control freak. Watts also trashed Nicole Kessinger, claiming she, Nicole, quote, became the death of me. He also called her a, quote, harlot and a, quote, Jezebel, who led him to destruction. Oh, okay, so now he's blaming his mistress. Okay, it's her fault that Shanann, Bella, and Celeste, and the baby boy, Nico, are all dead. He wrote a prayer of confession, Chris Watts. Quote, "The words of a harlot have brought me low. Her flattering speech was like drops of honey that pierced my heart and soul. Little did I know that all her guests were in the chamber of death." Can you believe this guy? What happened?
I don't want anybody to get some of those texts. Like, they have nothing to do with this case, and they're just like...
Between you and Chris?
Yes, they're just
So just tell me what you're...
They're just kind of raunchy.
Okay,
like,
well...
I don't need anybody...
Everybody's an adult.
Posted, like...
We're not going to
somewhere...
Post it.
I don't need... I don't want the newspapers to get that. That's all I want.
The only ones that we would be looking for, again, is the same kind of questions we're getting to here, is things about his children, things about his wife, the questioning of, did he ever, you know, has he ever said something to you that might indicate... Maybe not then, but now, that there was something like this in his mind. Or you know what we're looking for. I don't need to come out and tell you that.
You are hearing the alleged mistress of killer dad, Chris Watts. And even in light of the fact that his wife, his pregnant wife, and two little girls were found dead, the mom, Shanann Watts, buried in a shallow grave, the two little girls found in vats of oil. She's still whining about how she doesn't want to hand over her cell phone to investigators because there are, quote, raunchy texts. Unless you want it on page 6 of the New York Post, do not put it in writing. And really, don't even say it. If it's something you're ashamed of or something you don't repeat it, just don't say it, for Pete's sake. And she is impeding a homicide investigation because she doesn't want the world to see her raunchy texts, like I care about her raunchy texts. Well, in the end, she did not impede the investigation. She handed over the phone. Let's take a listen to Nicole Kessinger, the girlfriend, the mistress that finally comes forward 2 days after Shanann's disappearance, after she read newspaper articles. Listen.
On Tuesday, which would have been the 14th of August, you had read some newspaper articles on the 13th and the 14th regarding this case. You had also had a conversation with Chris at some point during the day on Monday. And on Tuesday, because of what you found, specifically what you said was, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but you found out that his wife was pregnant.
Yes.
And you did not know that prior.
No.
And you found that out via the newspaper articles, and that caused you concern.
Well, I just realized that he was lying to me, and I was like, well, if you can lie to me about this, what else are you lying to me about? And it made me realize that maybe his wife was in danger at that point, and it was day two, too, and she still wasn't home.
What did that cause you to do with your phone, though?
Oh, what, when I deleted those? I was just kind of grossed out by him, to be honest with you. I was just like, I don't know what's going on right now, but you just lied to me. And I don't want to see this come over my phone anymore. So I removed it.
So you already said, but you removed text messages?
I deleted all of his stuff because he lied to me. I mean, that's what it was. It was the hurt that made me delete it. And then it was the lie that made me start questioning everything else he'd been telling me for the last few days.
And that's when you decided to come forward?
Yes.
Okay.
You are hearing the voice of Nicole Kessinger. Killer dad Chris Watts is the mistress during this time. Joining me right now, in addition to Susan Constantine, Vincent Hill, Ashley Wilcott, also with me is Ellen Killoran, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter. You say there are inconsistencies, and isn't it true she has some very unusual computer searches as well?
Well, that's exactly right, Nancy. And the computer searches are what I see as some inconsistencies. As you hear in her discussions with the investigators, she talks about her relationship with Chris as one where he was more serious about her than she was about him. She says repeatedly she encouraged him to try and save his marriage. She said he has such a beautiful family. Why not hold on to this beautiful home? She says repeatedly that she encouraged him to stay married and work on his marriage. But once there was a data review of her phone, it looks like maybe there is some inconsistency. She had spent 2 hours online doing a Google search for wedding dresses.
Is this the same woman that searched for anal sex preparation?
That is correct. Yeah.
You know, it's funny how you gloss over the hard parts and you make me say them. Okay. In addition to the frothy wedding dress, I'm the one that has to blurt out the anal sex searches. Thanks, Ellen. What else did we find on her searches?
She definitely did a search related to terms marrying your mistress.
What did you say?
She did a Google search of terms related to the phrase marrying your mistress.
Is it true she did a search on how much she could make if she wrote a book like Amber Fry?
I don't think it was specifically how much can I make if I write a book, but she absolutely was interested, and she did Google searches on Amber Fry and her book deal and whether people hated her.
Okay, let me remind everybody who was Amber Fry. Amber Fry was the mistress of Scott Peterson. Amber Fry did not know Scott Peterson was married to a pregnant woman. Amber Fry then cooperated completely with police and actually caught Scott Peterson in damning cell phone conversations, wiretapping him. And as a matter of fact, there was a fear that Peterson would come kill her, but she stuck it out. And she was a star witness at the trial. It turned everything around in the Scott Peterson prosecution in the murder of his pregnant wife, Lacey, and their unborn child, Connor. So, you know, here you hear Nicole Kessinger going, wow, I don't want you to find out to release my raunchy text. Amber Fry put it out there and completely cooperated with police. She volunteered to cooperate with police and was a star witness. She then later wrote a book, and I hope she made a lot of money off that book. God bless her. To Susan Constantine, deception body language expert. I've got to give it to Nicole Kessinger. Without her cooperation, this case may not have cracked the way that it did. But according to Ellen Caloran, there's a lot of inconsistencies.
Yeah, there are a lot of inconsistencies. And the thing is that they need to go back and be able to verify the information that she's given them. But for overall, you know, when I'm listening to her, Nancy, there's a lot of truth in what she's saying. So the issue with hard to come over is her lack of emotion. You know, her emotion affect is just completely off. She's very cavalier. Her tone of her voice is really off-putting. And so she really sets herself up for people to really scrutinize her, because her personality is shining through about how she, you know, how she sees the entire situation, and how detached that she is. The part that bothers me the most is that she's trying to pretend like, hey, I'm coming in, I'm the savior, work things out with your wife. But yet she's kind of like pushing him away, but then kind of motioning to come closer. So she's very manipulative.
At one point he told me that they sat down and they talked about it, and he told her that he wanted to either fix things or, like, to try to fix things, and if she didn't want to fix them, then they needed to, like, move forward with the separation and, like, actually file for a divorce at this point was the impression that I got from this, and was what he told me. And so he said that she was, like, pretty receptive to just not trying. He was like, she seemed like she just wants me to go. He's like, when she has her mind made up, she has her mind made up, and that's what she wants. And he's like, she doesn't want to try anymore. And he's like, and neither do I really. And he was like, it's done. And he's like, and then the next day, I don't even know what days these were, sometime when he was out there, he told me, we're putting the house up for sale as soon as we get back. And I was like, well, that was quick. And he was like, it's her, she's ready to go. And I was like, okay.
It's the dramatic moment cops confront Chris Watts' mistress after he murdered his pregnant wife and two daughters to start a new life with her.
Why would you wipe out your family to be with me?
The just-released video shows 30-year-old Nicole Kessinger being interrogated.
Did you ever say anything to him about anything about his kids being a problem, anything about his wife being a problem?
Never. This shocked me just as much as I think it shocked the rest of the world.
She breaks down, sobbing over the gruesome fate of the children, 4-year-old Bella and 3-year-old Celeste.
He's so disgusting. I'm so ashamed of him.
Why? How? I don't even understand how you could, like, bring yourself to do that to somebody who's, like, that big.
You are hearing girlfriend Nicole Kessinger, and you are hearing our friend at Inside Edition, Jim Murray. Susan Constantine, deception and body language expert. What do you make of that, where Nicole Kessinger, the mistress, breaks down in tears?
Well, it came on very sudden. So that's the one thing that I look for. And also how quickly she recovers after it. So that's what I'm looking at, is that it's not unusual for someone just to break down. But when you listen to her voice, I'm listening for these kind of breaks or pauses in the voice, but I'm not really hearing that. I'm not saying that she does not feel that way. I think that she does. But what bothers me the most is how quickly the onset of that emotion was, and then how quick it ended. That bothers me, because there should be remnants of it throughout. Once she's finished making that statement, you should still hear her voice still cracking up afterwards. So even though she's emotionally upset, she quickly gets over it awfully fast. That's suspicious to me.
To Ellen Kaloran, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter, you mentioned inconsistencies. What other inconsistencies have you discovered? Because I think not only was she genuinely upset about the deaths of Bella and Celeste, but also was distancing herself. Because if she had known anything about this murder plot, she would have been roped in and doing jail time right now.
Yes. One thing that I want to make clear is that even though there are some inconsistencies in her story, it's also very clear that Chris Watts lied to her. She did not know Shannon Watts was pregnant. And he told her that Shannon was ready to leave the marriage, when that is 100% not true. We see that. However, there's one other instance of the interrogation when Nicole tells police that she never told any of her friends or anyone about her relationship with Chris, because it was very early on and he was still, you know, working through a separation. But that ended up not being the case. She did have a text message exchange with a girlfriend about her relationship with Chris, and she called investigators the next day and told them that.
Alexis Tereshchuk, not just the girlfriend we've been listening to, Nicole Kessinger, but also some other woman who played these kinky sex games with killer dad Chris Watts.
There was a second mistress, a woman named Amanda, and her name was secret all during, you know, his wife took their children to visit. Both of their parents live in North Carolina. So she went for 6 weeks in the summer with her girls when they were out of school to stay with his parents and her parents for a vacation. And that is when he went wild. He was like a bachelor. Even his friends had joked with him. And this was all in the police report that the county has released. The friend sent him a text and said, "How is your life as a bachelor?" And he lied to his friends. He said, "Oh, you know, I'm just working out. I'm not doing anything else." He wasn't working out.
Working out.
He was having an affair.
Working mm-hmm. out, I can make a lot of crude jokes right now, but I'm not.
Jumping into a new relationship is a little quick. It's like, I was in a relationship earlier this year, and I think this is also a little quick. And I'm like, so why don't we take our time? And I'm like, if you guys end up doing a week on, a week off with your kids, I'm like, the week you have your kids, be with your children. And the week that you don't, I'm like, I don't even want to see you every day. I'm like, I think we should spend like a few days of that together. I'm like, because I like my space and I think you need your space. I think you need your space to like develop your identity again and like get it back, because I think he's just been like so wrapped up in this whole thing that he's got in his own life and his life that he doesn't remember probably what it's like to like be single or have time where it's like just him.
Sure.
And so I was just like, you know, like, embrace that. It's a beautiful thing. And I really try to like take it smart with all that. And it was the same thing with his kids. I was just like, you know, like, and we talk about things every once in a while where I, you know, I'd be like, hey, if I ever meet, you know, cause like I have a lot of house plants. That's a good example. So I have a lot of house plants. And I told him, I was like, one day, if I ever meet your kids, I was like, I'm going to show these girls how to like paint pottery and plant some plants. I was like, I think they would love to see something grow that they build. I think it would be really, really cute. And like little stuff like that, but it wasn't very frequent. It wasn't, hey, we should get married, and hey, we should have babies, and hey, I want to live with you, and hey, I need to meet your children now, and let's cut the mom out. It was never like that.
There was never any conversation about, you know, we can't do this with her around, we can't do this with the kids around.
No.
He never said that. You never
no.
said that.
No.
Yeah, maybe they didn't talk about the marriage and the moving in because there was a problem. His wife, Shannon, the pregnant wife. You know, I'm listening to the girlfriend, Nicole Kessinger. Were these statements, Alexis Tereshchuk, before or after
the bodies were found?
Before.
Okay, so she didn't yet know that the wife and the children were dead. Okay, that alleviates some of this, because I was wondering, how could she talk about all that when the bodies had just been recovered? You know, another aspect to this is police were listening to her, but they were probably also looking at her as a potential person of interest. Potential. She did not have anything to do with these murders. Let's just be clear about that. So the wife and the children at this point are missing, and she's just talking as fast as she can. She conveniently left out the search for wedding dresses. Do people, quote, hate Amber Fry, who was Scott Peterson's mistress when Lacey, his pregnant wife, was murdered? How to prepare for anal sex. Oh, let's see. There's just so many to choose from. I don't really know what to pick first. Alexis Terezchuk, I doubt pretty seriously she knew his plan to murder his wife and children, or that he had another mistress. Bring us up to date, Alexis Terezchuk.
So I don't think she did know that he had another mistress. There was a woman named Amanda, and we secretly interviewed her before her name became public. And she told us that she met Chris on a dating app. They had a really dirty one-night stand. She said that he wanted to do a rape fantasy, that he choked her out while they had sex, and she loved
it. Wait. In the rape fantasy, was he the victim or was she the victim?
She was the victim. So he was the one that was raping her in their sex fantasy that was consensual, she said.
All that rage, all that hate towards women. Okay, go ahead.
And she said that she had a really good time with it. She thought he was really attractive, and it was a really sexy one-night stand. So yeah, so he started cheating on his wife, his pregnant wife, basically the same minute she got pregnant. And then he moved on to not just cheating on her, but having a full-blown relationship and a woman who thought they were going to get married. This is somebody who he FaceTimed with this mistress. He killed his wife and children.
But why are you acting so indignant that the mistress thought they were going to get married? The mistress knew he was already married.
I guess she thought he was a marrying type, that he would just bounce back from one and marry her again. And so the night that the women went missing, the first night, the daughters and his wife, he sat on his bed, his unmade bed, in his bedroom, on his phone, his iPhone, and FaceTimed with her so she could see that he was in the bed where his wife had most likely died, and that he was just chatting with her. She said he was staring at her very intently, and he wasn't crying about his children missing or his wife missing. He was just carrying on like a flirty conversation with her, knowing that he had killed his wife and his daughters in that very house within the last 24 hours.
Wow. You know, it's interesting that people worry about worry about how the mistress was hurt. You know, to hay with the mistress, she knew full well he was married with children. Although I don't think she knew the wife was pregnant. Vincent Hill, private investigator, author of Playbook to Murder. So often the defense will be, and I remember Mark Garagos, who never agree with him, but he is a good defense lawyer, would always say, an adulterer does not a murderer make. And that's true. Just because you're having an affair does not mean you're going to commit murder. But in domestic homicides, very often you will find when the wife is murdered by the husband, there has been an affair. So the converse to me is true. Very often in domestic homicides, you will find the killer is an adulterer. True, adulterer doesn't mean a killer necessarily, but the reverse may very well be true, Vincent Hill. They had to know they were going to dig up at least one mistress, Vincent.
What's really disturbing, Nancy, is I think with this other mistress that he met on Tinder or whatever dating website it was, the fact that he wanted to play out this rape fantasy and strangle her, I think he was kind of setting the tone of what he was going to do with his wife. And I wouldn't be surprised if more women came forward at a later time, whether it's from 10 years ago, and say, yeah, he'd like to choke or strangle or something like that. So I think all the signs were there this whole time. And luckily for this other mistress, I think she got out kind of lucky, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what? You're right. And again, Although we're giving her a hard time, she is in no way implicated in his murderous plan. As a matter of fact, listen to girlfriend Nicole Kessinger.
You know, it wasn't fair to his family for him to have an affair. It wasn't fair to me to have him lie to me and make me think that everything is to plan. And still to this day, I don't even know what's a lie and what's not. I don't even know if they were, like, filing for divorce. I don't know if they were putting the house up. I don't even know anymore what is real and what is not. But what I do know is it's just like, you know, that wasn't fair to me either, because if I'd have known not even all the truth, but, like, obviously some of it, I wouldn't have even engaged in any of this in the first place. And it just, I mean, and that's the part for me, just like on my personal level, outside of everything that is happening, that is gonna affect me long term. It's like, you know, I'm gonna wake up every day and know that, like, this mom and her unborn child and these two little girls are not around anymore, and it breaks my heart. It is so, oh my God. And then I have to think about, like, the consequences of his actions and how they affect everybody else. Like, all of these, her family's impacted. My name is about to be, like, slandered for probably a while.
Elsewhere in these letters, Watts continues to repeat his, quote, Jezebel mistress, Nicole Kessinger, is really responsible. Quote, oh my stars, this idiot, quote, I hope the appeals court sees this. Again, quote, she was a harlot. Does somebody actually still say harlot? I guess so. She was a harlot, a Jezebel, who led me astray, who spoke sweet words of destruction. But I will let God have his justice with her. I was weak, and I let her cloud my morals and my judgment. Okay, she was never implicated in any of this. She had nothing to do with the murders. As he is, quote, taking full responsibility, he's blaming the woman he conned into an affair. One of the many women he conned into an affair. Now, he's saying she's a Jezebel. Who is Jezebel? I think he's talking about the biblical queen Jezebel, known for her wicked and immoral actions. This guy. Okay. Nicole Kessinger had nothing to do with these murders. He did it all on his own. Chris Watts, you may have gotten forgiveness by the Lord, but don't expect any special treatment from Lady Justice. Goodbye, friends.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.